All right, good evening, everybody. I don't know if I've ever done this before, but I'm going to ditch my sermon and do something completely different. So you're going to have to pray for this one. I think it's appropriate for the particular day that we're on. So October 31st, 1517. You should know what that date is in church history. Anybody? October 31st, 1517. Come on, folks. Say again? Reformation Day. And that's the day that Martin Luther went to the church in Wittenberg, Germany, and nailed to the church door the 95 Theses. And if you say, what is the 95 Theses? Well, he was a Catholic at the time. He was in the Catholic Church, and he started reading his Bible, which Catholics don't do. They didn't do it back then. They don't do it today. That's a sad thing. They should. He started reading his Bible, and he came across the verse, "The just shall live by faith." And he thought to himself, I haven't been taught this. I've been taught that the works that I do are what's going to make me right with God and being a good Catholic. And the Bible is telling me something completely different. So as a result of that, he led a revolution. Call it the Reformation. Now, I know Martin Luther, we would not agree with him on all points of doctrine. He had some things, he was off on some things. But you talk about a bold step of faith to do what that man did. And all he did was write some things down on a piece of paper, nail it to the door of the church so people could read it. And things changed drastically for the next several hundred years as a result of that. So that's October 31st, 1517. Here we are, October 31st, 2021. And the world is celebrating, I won't say it, but they celebrate this weird day. I wouldn't even call it a holiday because that's holiday, holy day. It's not a holy day. However, I thought we would take a look at some things in the Bible that pertain to this particular day as far as some of the themes of the day. So this will be short. You ought to be glad that I'll save the sermon for another day. It's all ready to go. It's about Hezekiah. I'll save it for another time. This will be a lot shorter because I know that you've got some things on your mind here. Maybe. So let's start off in Genesis chapter 3. And I tell you what we'll do. I'm going to go all over the place here. Not really all over the place, but several different places. And let's pray before we read here. And then we'll, Lord willing, this will be short and be some good stuff, though, that you can put in your pocket on this particular day. So let's pray together. Thank you, Lord God, for your words. Thank you for how they are always what we need. And I pray that tonight we would receive something that we all need, just truth from your word. I do pray that we would see some things that are exciting from your word tonight and that we would be bold, just like we read about a great man of the past, Martin Luther, that you greatly used. May we be bold in what we believe, particularly in this day we live in. May we be armed with truth tonight and every day throughout this week. And I just pray that you would be glorified in our church tonight, here in our service, and also in our lives throughout the rest of this week. We pray for wisdom. We pray for your hand of protection on us, both physically and spiritually. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so you get an idea of how the world really is, or why the world really is the way it is, when you read the Bible. So on this particular day, one of the themes is death. And the world is obsessed with death. Have you noticed that? They like this dark theme. The fact that they like it tells you their spiritual condition, doesn't it? So let's go to Genesis 3 here and find out where death came from. Now you know this, but as Pastor always says, repetition is good. It's theological glue. You want things to stick. So this is always good to look at. Genesis chapter 3. We'll get to Revelation later. Genesis chapter 3. Look at what happens here. You know that in chapter 2, the Lord told Adam and Eve that they were not to partake of the forbidden fruit. And you know that right here in Genesis 3, let's look at verse 6. It says that when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they were and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. All right, so you see in verse 6, it's a very important verse in your Bible because that is where sin enters the world. You say, what did they do that was so bad? If you just read that verse all by itself, you say, what's the big deal? All they did was eat something off of a tree. They just ate fruit, right? Back up to chapter 2, and you always want to find out what God says about something. So let's look at that real quick. Chapter 2, and let's look at verse 16. Genesis 2:16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, watch the strong language here, thou shalt surely, all right? They're told in verse 17, well, actually Adam was told, that by God, that eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil would definitely result in what? He said, surely, thou shalt surely die if you eat the fruit. Okay, chapter 3, verse 6, what do they do? What is the result? Okay, you go to Romans chapter 6. For the wages of sin is death. You been by a cemetery lately? Again, this is the particular day that we're on. People are obsessed with cemeteries and death and darkness. If you've been to a cemetery, you find out the cemetery is filling up. There's more and more spaces being taken up in the cemetery because 10 out of 10 people die. You have 100%, I have 100% chance of dying if the Lord does not come back before my days are over. Now, if we stop the message right there, we're all sad. We go home and we're like, what do we do? But there's hope. So let's go to the New Testament here. I read part of the verse, but let's go to Romans 6. Romans chapter 6, and we'll get to some really fun stuff here in a minute. Let's get through this kind of difficult stuff first. Not really hard to understand, just, man, this is rough when you think about yourself, but we need to deal with truth, don't we? Doesn't matter what you think about it, you need to deal with it, because God's Word is truth. So look at Romans 6, verse 23. Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death. So anybody in here who has sinned, and that's 100% of us in here, this is not good news. This is truth. What do you have coming? All right, now can you imagine living in a world where all you got to look forward to is death? What kind of existence would you have? Hopeless. No reason to live. If you know that you're going to die one day and there's nothing to look forward to, and if you know your Bible, you know that a person without Christ dies and it gets a lot worse for them after they die. What is this all about? Well, let's keep reading the verse, because the second part of verse 23 is fantastic. It says, for the wages of sin is death. There's the bad news. Here's the good news. But the gift of God is eternal life through who? Jesus Christ our Lord. You ever look at that verse? There's some contrast in that verse. Take a look at it. Wages contrasted with a gift. Wages are something that you earn. A gift is something that you don't earn. Okay, look at the next contrast. Death comes after the word is in the first half of the verse. Eternal life comes after the word is in the second part of the verse. Which would you rather have? Eternal life. How do you get it? The last part of the verse tells you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, how is it possible that Jesus Christ makes it possible for anybody who will call on Him to save them to have eternal life? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Now, you know this. This is the gospel. Never forget where this is in your Bible. This is where you can show somebody. This is the gospel. This is what my hope is. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Look down there at verse 3. And it says here, 15:3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also receive, how that Christ did what? Now the wages of sin is death. When did He sin? When did Jesus Christ sin? What's the Bible say He did though? He did not die for His sins, but He died for sins. That's your sins and mine, amen? So the sinless one paid the price for sinners. Then it goes on to say, Christ died for our sins. Now, let me stop here for a second. The world is obsessed with death. But if we stop there, Okay, Christ died for our sins. That's a good thing. He had to do that for us, but look, it gets better here. Look at this. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried. Okay, so if you break the verses down, Christ died, that's negative. For our sins, that's negative. And was buried. We're 3 for 3 negative. Is there anything positive in these verses? Hey, if you haven't noticed so far, God gives you the bad news first. You know what the bad news is? I'm a sinner and you're a sinner. If you're going to witness to folks, you make sure you drive the nail that drives that thing home. You got to acknowledge before God, not before me or you. You're a sinner. And sinners deserve death. Sinners deserve hell. The first part of that there, Christ died. He died for our sins. He was buried. Now, look at the last part. And that He what? Rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There's a great hope, folks. In a world obsessed with death for the Christian, it doesn't end there. Your life is not going to end when you die if you're saved. In fact, Paul said to depart and to be with Christ. He was talking about dying is far better than being right here. Now, I know we have loved ones die. We're sad. But if they're saved, they got a far better situation than you and I down here living in this crazy messed up world we're in right now. So there's a great hope. Resurrection. So I can take just a few minutes here. We got 20 minutes. I'll stop at 7 o'clock. I'm going to do my best, okay? So we'll take just a few minutes on each of these. How about we talk about something good on this day where people are obsessed with death? How about we talk about the opposite of death? Talk about life. How about we talk about rising from the dead? Now, I don't mean rising from the dead like the world says. Because the world on this particular day, they talk about rising from the dead and they think of zombies. The people that are getting up from the dead, supposedly, still look like death. What good is that? I'm going to show you something, that little detail in your Bible that knocked your socks off. Go to Matthew chapter 27. I remember the first time many years ago when I read this. You're reading through the Gospel of Matthew and you hit this spot. And you're like, whoa, man, that's amazing. And then, just like the Lord does oftentimes, you want more. And He just doesn't give you any more. He just goes on. So you'll see what I'm talking about here. Look at Matthew 27. This is the account of the death of Christ. And take a look down there at the end of the chapter. Verse 50. So we're going to take a look at three resurrections here tonight. Here's the first one. A most unusual resurrection right here. This is not Christ's resurrection. Three other resurrections because of Christ's resurrection. By the way, He's called the first fruits. 1 Corinthians 15, He's the first fruits. So these resurrections I'm going to look at tonight would not have happened unless Christ had risen first. So you'll see that here. Look at 27:50. Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Isn't that something? There's something that people talk about on this particular day. Ghosts. Now, let's get the Bible on the subject. When somebody yields up the ghost or gives up the ghost, what happens? It's got nothing to do with a white sheet. Okay? Sherry and I were discussing this afternoon. The world's got things so messed up. Casper, the friendly ghost, friendliest ghost, you know. What? What? I saw that when I was a kid. Friendly ghost? Now there's the Holy Ghost. He's the friendly ghost. But sometimes He'll make your life miserable. If you're not living for God, He'll convict you of your sin. And if you're not saved, He'll convict you of your sin. So see, He's, what a bunch of nonsense, a friendly ghost. Because the world's ghosts are not associated with God. They're associated with the devil and they're no good. Just like the world to put a spin on things that is not biblical, right? Anyway, all right. So the Lord gave up the ghost. You find out people in your Bible gave up the ghost, that just simply means they died, all right? So that's what happens with the Lord. Now look at verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Now watch here. Here's what's coming next. Now watch. Here's this crazy little detail here. Not crazy that it's not true. It's 100% true. It's just odd. 52. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept, what'd they do? And came out of the... Now watch this verse. Verse 53. And came out of the graves after his resurrection. That's the Lord's. After his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, I remember the first time I'm reading through Matthew, I read that, and I thought, well, what would they do? Whose house did they go to? Look at the next verse. Now, when the centurion and they that were with them watching, well, hold on a second. What about these people that rose from the dead? The Lord says, I ain't telling you anymore. But we can always read the Bible and think about how this went. I'm not making anything up here. I just want you to think about what we just read. They come out of the 53. Again, they came out of the graves. They go into the holy city. What's the holy city in your Bible? Jerusalem. And appeared in a minute. Okay, so you got people in Jerusalem. They're having dinner. Knock on the door. Dad goes to get the door. He opens the door. And Grandpa's there. And Grandpa died 20 years ago. How come the Lord didn't tell us more about this? He just chose not to tell us more about this. But did you notice the little detail given in verse 53? Came out of the graves after his resurrection. Once again, the Lord's resurrection made way for there to be other people rise from the dead. Isn't that something? Now, here's a great mystery. What happened to those people? I've heard preachers speculate, and I do not know. I'll give you the speculation. None of these I know for certain. I've heard it said, well, there was a special rapture for these people. Could be. Well, they died again. Could be. The Lord didn't tell us. I don't know. I do know this. What we read in verse 52 and 53 definitely happened. And I think it all goes back to what Jesus Christ made possible through his resurrection. Because he rose from the dead, now others will rise from the dead through his power. All right? So there's the first one there. Isn't that odd? You ever seen that before? It's just one of those odd little details. Now, I kind of tend to think they didn't die again, but I can't tell you what happened to them at the same time. I don't know. Little detail that the Lord throws in there just for fun, right? Okay, go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is one that pertains to me and you. So I'm going to give you a past resurrection. That's the past. I'll give you a present day, or at least hopefully soon resurrection. And I'll give you one that's definitely a little ways in the future, at least a little ways. So I'm reading this one as the present, even though it hasn't happened yet. This is the one that we await. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Again, familiar verses should be to you. This is what you and I are looking forward to. This is what the great hope is, that you do not die before this event, because if you don't die before this event, you will never see death if you know Jesus Christ. Isn't that a great thing? I'm going to show you this here in a second. We'll read it. But there will be a generation of people that don't face physical death. It's people that are saved when the Lord Jesus Christ appears in the clouds. The great Old Testament type is Enoch. He never died. Elijah's another one. Yes, Miss Diana, he's another one. But I'll show you something about Elijah on the last rapture here in a minute. So let's put all these together. Isn't this fun? Hey, 1 Thessalonians 4. This one, have you ever been in an airplane? I like airplanes to some degree. Don't like wearing a mask on an airplane, but I like riding on the airplane. It's fun because there's so much power in that thing and you're in the air. And you can look down on what's happening down here, right? What we're about to read is far better than any experience on an airplane. Watch this. 1 Thessalonians 4. Look at verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall do what? They're going to rise. So there's the people that were saved that have already died, coming up out of the graves, just like we read about those people in Matthew 27. They were dead, now they're alive. Watch what they do, though. Look at 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Where? In the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. Now watch this part. And so shall we ever be with who? from this moment into the future after this moment, if you're saved, you will always be with the Lord. Do you want to be with anybody else? I hope that's the one you want to be close to all the time. There's a day coming. Now, this is where the world thinks we're crazy, but if you're a Bible believer, the world's going to think you're crazy. It's okay. They think we're crazy. I think they're crazy. They have some crazy beliefs, too. That there was an explosion and then suddenly there's a universe. That's crazy. That man evolved over millions of years from a single-celled amoeba. That's crazy. They're the ones that are crazy. So they think we're crazy. Now, there's a day where you look up to the sky, the Lord Jesus Christ will be there, and if you're saved, you will fly. And 1 Corinthians 15 gives you more light on this. It says it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So it's going to be faster than I can snap my fingers. You'll go from here on earth to there with Him, and you'll always be with Him. Amen?
Amen.
That's the great hope. Everybody here knows people who were saved that have died. Right? There's hope for them. They will get out of the grave. So if you go to visit their grave in the cemetery, by the way, if you go to the cemetery, they're not there. It's kind of weird. People go to the cemetery to visit their loved ones that have died, and they talk to them. They're not there, folks. I'm not trying to be mean, but they're not there. All right? If they're saved, you know exactly they're with the Lord, absent from the body, present. Now, their body's there, but there's no life in their body. So it does you no good to talk to them. But you'll see them again one day if they were saved. And if you're saved, amen. Isn't that great? There's people that you miss probably that you'll see again in heaven at the rapture, right after the rapture. More importantly, who will you see at the rapture that you've never seen face-to-face, that you will see face-to-face for the first time and you'll always be with them? The Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that exciting? I read over in there's a statement in 2 John and 3 John. He writes and he says, hey, the people he's writing to, he says, right now I'm writing to you in paper and ink. But one day, I'm paraphrasing, one day I will see you face to face. You know how I see the Lord right now? I'm looking at paper and ink. But that's only for a time. There will be a day where if you're saved, we'll see Him. Have you ever thought, that's something to meditate on for a while. I mean, I'm looking out at you right here, and I can look at you and see you face to face. I've never seen the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. That's going to be amazing because for the first time, I will set eyes on the One who paid the price for my sins, who is the reason why I'm in heaven with God. He's the reason. No, not anything about me. All about Him. What a glorious day that will be. Amen? Better to be on His side with Him than to be against Him when He comes back at His second coming. He comes back as a mighty warrior to conquer and to set up His kingdom. I want to be on His. I am on His side. I hope you're on His side because I want to be on the right side, right? Who likes to lose in here? You don't like to lose. If you've ever played any kind of game, any kind of sport, you hate losing. Why would you want to lose for eternity? Don't you want to win? You're on the winning side? Jesus Christ's side is the winning side. Amen. See, this is exciting, isn't it? All right, it's not even 7 o'clock yet. Past resurrection. The first one, the most important, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we have there, after His resurrection, we have these saints coming out of the graves. Don't know a whole lot about them, but they did. I know it's true. That's the past. Now, I say present. It's not here yet, but hopefully it's soon. Soon to be present. All right, still in the future. I'm talking about the rapture. Hopefully soon. Okay. Now, how about one that's going to come sometime after the rapture, at least a few years after the rapture? Go to Revelation 11. Revelation 11. This is a rapture that will take place during the tribulation. Revelation 11:3. A tribulation rapture. Who's going up at this one? I should say a tribulation resurrection and rapture. All right, look at verse 3. 11:3. Here you are in the tribulation in chapter 11. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth from where? Out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Yes, you just read it right. In the tribulation, there will be two fire-breathing prophets. If you mess with them, if anybody messes with them in the tribulation, they have the power to breathe fire on them and destroy their enemies. But look what happens here. Look at verse 6. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. So not only do they have power to breathe fire out of their mouth, they also have the power to shut heaven and to turn water to blood and to smite the earth with plagues. Now, if you read your Old Testament, there is a man that prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. Anybody know who that was? Elijah. There's also a man in your Old Testament who God gave him the power to turn water to blood and to smite the earth with plagues. Who would that be? Moses. Now, I'm of the conviction, and if you disagree, that's okay. But I think verse 6 lays it out pretty clear. I'm of the conviction that the two witnesses in the tribulation, it's the return of Moses and Elijah. You've got the law, Moses, and one of the prophets, Elijah. Who does God begin to deal with in the tribulation out of all the groups in the world of people? Who does he deal with? Jews. Who would they be inclined to listen to? The lawgiver, Moses, and one of their prophets, Elijah. Something to that. Now, let's see what happens. So far, it's going well for these guys. They got all this power. Look what happens. Verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. So notice these fellows have power, but who has power over them? Yeah, it's the beast who is Satan as a man. All right, let's see what happens here. Verse 8. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So they are killed by the beast. They leave their bodies in the street of what city? It's Jerusalem. Notice that city has a spiritual name. There's a whole study right there that's really neat. It's the name of the city is Jerusalem, but spiritually it's not called Jerusalem. What's it called? Sodom and Egypt. I wonder what God would call Titusville. Spiritually. Or Melbourne, or we live down in Vieira, or Tallahassee, or Miami, or you said it, we'll go outside of the state, Washington, D.C., or New York City, or San Francisco, or Los Angeles. I got a feeling that they have a different spiritual name. What do you think? Because what's most important is where a city is spiritually. And most large cities, spiritually, not good, right? The small towns are where the Bible believers seem to gather, isn't it? They're not always, but as a general rule, you know why? The smaller towns are where people are more inclined to count their blessings instead of being carried away with all the glories of the city. Isn't that something? Very interesting. All right, so let's see what happens here. Verse 9. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. Now, verse 9 is interesting. This was written in around 90 A.D. And what I read in verse 9 is that everybody on the earth, when these two guys are killed and their dead bodies stay in the street, it says they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies. How's that possible? You got a cell phone? What do you got on that cell phone? The ability to see live TV? You could do that. You can pull it up right now. Yeah. Y'all have the old phones. Bless you. It's a blessing to have the old phone where all you can do is play Snake and you can't even text. You can get a call and that's it. Hey, remember those phones? Couldn't do much with them. They sure didn't take as much time away from us as the mutt. Man, isn't that something? Bless y'all for doing that. Y'all are the smart ones in here. But there is a possibility for everybody to have a device in their hand in the day we live in and see live TV, right? Pick your channel, doesn't matter. Whichever one you like, you can see live TV if you so choose. I believe that that is the way verse 9 is actually going to come to pass. Where do you go? If you go any store, in almost no matter where you go today, even if you don't have a phone, they got screens. And what do they have on the screens? Live TV, live news from wherever they want in the world. Verse 9, can you imagine if you're reading that 100 years ago? You're probably scratching your head saying, how's the whole world going to see this? 2021, duh. Yeah, we knew that was going to happen. That's easy. The Lord knows the future, doesn't he? So look what happens next. Now, how do the people on the earth react when these men are killed and they lay in the street? Verse 10, and they that dwell upon the earth shall what? You mean like joy to the world? Rejoice over them and make merry. You mean like Merry Christmas? Look at the wording here. Isn't this wild? And shall send what? Gifts one to another. Notice the wording there sounds very similar to things that we do at Christmas time. Now, I don't know if it'll be at Christmas time that happens, but isn't that interesting? Could be. And what are they rejoicing over? They're not celebrating the birth of Christ. They're celebrating the death of the two witnesses. And they're happy. This is the world we live in on this particular day. Happy about death. That's a messed up world, isn't it? These men are trying to tell people the truth, how to escape the damnation of hell, and they're killed and people are happy. Shows you the darkened heart of men, doesn't it? Let's keep going because it gets better here. Look at verse 11. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. What did those fellows do? They lay in the street for 3.5 days, and then what happens? They're alive. There's a resurrection. Now look what happens next, verse 12. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. The power of God's words. And they ascended up to heaven. All the Lord has to do is say three words, and what happens? Boop. That's some powerful words. Let there be light. What happened? Don't ever discount the power of God's words. They ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And that's something there. There's a future resurrection and rapture. I think verse 10, that really shows you a whole lot about the state of the world we live in and what they are obsessed with on this particular day of this particular month. Death. And then they're celebrating it. What a twisted, messed up idea to think that death is something to, quote, celebrate. But that's where they are. Folks, the great hope is in a resurrection. And in a resurrection only made possible by the Lord Jesus Christ. So I know that I'm looking at a crowd right here, and we're probably all in agreement. Amen. But you're going to walk out those doors, and you're going to walk into a world this week that is not in agreement with you. And as Pastor said this morning, we got a role to play in these last days. What is it? Be the lights. And tell people how they can escape eternal damnation, fire. I tell you, I wrote that stuff in the bulletin and as I was typing it in there. It's terrifying to think about. Hell, a place of real fire that nobody ever escapes. And there's pain there that nobody ever gets relief from. Folks, would you want anybody to go there? I hope that you would not want anybody to go there. The world uses that name of that place, hell, as a curse word, don't they? And that ought to be a thing that reminds us of their great need for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, hey, in a world of darkness, there is hope. Now, you got that hope? Well, let's make sure we go out of here this week and we are the light that we're supposed to be. I read John chapter 1. Speaks of John the Baptist, and it says over there, he was not that light. Who's the light? Jesus Christ. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light that all men through him might believe. What's your job this week? What's my job? Bear witness of the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's make sure we do that. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your words. Thank you for just showing us a great hope. As this world is obsessed with things that are just awful and terrible to think about, we have a great hope of resurrection and a rapture, and I just thank you for that. Help us to be faithful, to be witnesses, to bear witness of the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ this week. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.